You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you want to be heard or respond or whatever it is. There's a lot to talk about this morning. Joining us now on the line, he is one of our Monday regulars here. We got State Representative Shane Stringer with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time. We always appreciate it. We always appreciate you coming on. Were you out there dressed up in a Halloween costume at any No Kings protest in the area today? Saturday.
Well, unfortunately, I was unable to make it. I had other obligations like family, football, and hunting camp, stuff like that, the important stuff. So didn't get to make it. Didn't look like it was too much that went on there. I didn't see a lot on the news about it.
I it's a shame that more people don't care that we are living in this monarchy, right? And it's very tough in America right now, living under this president who's just every opportunity taking our rights away.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's I can definitely understand why no one wanted to protest when the Democrat Party didn't hold a fair primary and pick their own candidate, or when they were, forcing everybody to take shots or either lose your job during COVID or some of that stuff, you know, versus, the craziness that I guess we're seeing now.
Well, I hope things get better in this country. It's hard to go every day knowing that, we're going to any moment they're going to shut down the Jeff Poore Show, and we'll hear state-sponsored media or something probably. because you're an elected official. I don't know if there was any protest there on Highway 45 as people were driving up to wherever they may be going through Citronelle. But is this... you're in tune with this, and I know this is a left of center protest, but I don't think this really works.
No, I don't think it plays a part in anything. Truthfully, I think some of these people, maybe it just gives them a sense of security or satisfaction to know that they went out and protested against Donald Trump. You know, it ain't accomplished anything because the fact is everything is running good. He's able to put a stop to the war in Israel and over in Gaza and, a lot of the stuff that's going on across the world. And things seem to be running better than they ever have. I think the United States is rebounding and, headed for a good recovery and, just going to take a minute to overcome some of the stuff that we've gone through with the Democrat Party and under President Biden.
Yeah, I suspect you're right. Hey, I know we spent some time on this last week and what happened in Montgomery, but now it's kind of things kind of settled down, and we're back. And then we had Reed Ingraham maybe right after you last week or 2 weeks ago, and he's serious here. Tell me, have you ever heard of this even? It may be a thing, but he said on this show that in Montgomery, there were 911 calls that were going unanswered. So in other words, you call 911, somebody would pick up and do the report or whatever, and then nothing came of it. So and the story he offered, and he said he had to go get the sheriff up there to react to it. But the story offered was there was like an armed robbery, very serious, scary situation. And then, once the bad guys have gone, they call 911 and then said that no one from the police ever showed up. I mean, does that ever really happen in anywhere you've ever heard of?
I've not heard of it happening in Alabama or in the south part of the country. You know, I have heard of similar situations happening in Illinois and Detroit and in those areas, but not down here. And I would hope and pray that that's not the case. But if it is, you know, we've got to get that addressed. You know, I do know that the city of Birmingham is running understaffed in their law enforcement. I've heard rumblings that it's roughly, you know, maybe 200 officers short. If that's the case, then that could possibly attest to some of that. But if that's the case, we've got to figure out a way to address it. And, you know, like I've said all along, it would be really refreshing if Mayor Reed would just say, hey, we've got issues, we need help, and let's address it. I mean, even if it means getting the President Trump to send in the National Guard for a short period of time, and let's get things under control, let's put a stop to some of this madness and address the real issue, which is the criminal.
Yeah, I but it's crazy to me. I guess so. Representative Ingram wants to just take over the state, to take over the 911 or the whatever the agency is, at least for now, because I guess, and you tell me this is how this works, that when you have these 911 calls, you're supposed to log them and report them to Aaliyah. They're supposed to be reported to, I guess, the feds. And the city of Montgomery is just not doing that, because, and this is where we get into like how we compile crime statistics, there's, I guess, a fear there that would count against them. At least that's the perception.
Yeah, no, that's not surprising. You know, and I applaud Reed for stepping up and trying to brainstorm this and come up with some ideas, because something has got to be done. Somebody's got to step up and look at solutions. I'm not sure that taking over the Montgomery Police Department or the 911 system is going to be the solution, you know, because truthfully, a lot of these mayors in these problematic cities would probably applaud that and like that. They would probably be willing to give them their jail if they wanted that too. I mean, that's some of the most stressful, hard issues to deal with on a daily basis. And if they could give them up and lose the burden of financially supporting those, you know, those divisions, I'm sure they would be happy to. So I don't know if that's necessarily the
well, the 911 system option seems way more, like I said, this is where my expertise sort of ends, but it seems like a way more feasible than trying to take over the city's police or even recalling the mayor. I mean, I know it's a significant agency for localities, but taking over a police department seems way more complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. And the 911 system wouldn't be as complicated. And, you know, and I do think that there's enough tax revenue there that is, you know, funding the 911 systems that would be able to take care of it. So it's definitely not a money problem, or shouldn't be. If it is, it's a management problem. So, you know, I think that that's an option short term, but I think we've got to hire people to run these divisions and run these agencies and be proficient with it to provide the best services that we can to our citizens. And, you know, I don't think that's out of reach with that system up there. You know, they've got the money to pay people and pay the right people to run it. So I think that's a option, maybe short term.
What are the economics of the job market, let's say, among law enforcement? Because you do hear this a lot, that these bigger cities aren't able to keep police. And then because, you know, the city of Birmingham will run somebody through their academy, and maybe they'll be there for a year or two, and then they'll get hired off by another municipality. I mean, is it really a situation where the you know, the economics are as such where that's a real phenomenon, or what does it look like, you know, for someone on the job market?
Yeah, that was a problem over the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. The legislature and the APOS has taken steps to try to address that. And one of those is, you know, making new candidates hire 3-year contracts with whatever agency that sends them through the academy. so they will stay there at least 3 years to help them recruit their investment in that employee, and gives them some time to hopefully grow and become, you know, professional officers over that time period. So, you know, there's some measures that are being taken place. I know the city of Mobile has hired a recruiter. Tony McCarron has been recruiting for Mobile Police and Fire, and has been extremely successful in our area, and probably for the first time in a long time, Mobile Police Department is up to staff, and to the point that he's even helped smaller agencies and other agencies throughout Mobile County with recruits in filling spots. You know, I know most of the agencies around Mobile County are near capacity for the first time in years, I'd say in over 10 years or more.
Well, and, you know, it's kind of fallen off the radar, the city of Mobile, and it's you know, it felt like there was kind of a ripple when they let go of Paul Prine and then that ensuing drama. But what do you hear there? Is things seem to be better generally, but, you know, only because anecdotally you're not hearing as much.
Yeah, I think everything's running great. Keith Jackson's a great guy, good friend of mine, and I think they're doing good work there. And, you know, from what I've seen, you know, things ran great under Chief Prine, and I think they're continuing to run great under Chief Jackson. And they've got a lot of good staff members there and a good support system at Mobile PD. I've worked there before. And just a great department, and I think they're doing some great stuff. And, you know, I think that it's only going to get better as they operate under the new mayor and get things more established and, you know, continue to support them as they always do.
Well, and let's say you're king for the day. What do you think needs to be done about Pritchard? It's you know, it's nearby. It's people talk about it a lot. What do you think needs to be done there to try to, it'll never be a, you know, completely safe place, I would think, but I think there's got to be some remedies that just need to be done now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think presence, the officer's presence is what, you know, slows crime down. It's been proven across the country. There's been agencies, including the city of Fairhope did it here locally about 10 or 15 years ago, where they came in and almost doubled the size of their department and reduced their crime by 50%. So, the presence of law enforcement absolutely curbs crime and prevents it. So I think if, you know, and we've had the Sheriff's Department and the MPD and other agencies that have gone in, the state at Leah, that have gone in and helped Pritchard from time to time. But I think we need something in there for a little bit longer period of time to let's get things under control. Let's get the gang issues under control. And as you get things under control there, then you can slowly turn it back over to the city, and I think they could maintain it. But you just, you know, the biggest thing, as long as they've got the revenue to get the needed officers to show the presence on the streets.
Well, the gang thing is, that seems to be kind of the problem in all these places. And it's not just big cities. I mean, you know, Dadeville was a gang thing. You almost need a gang task force that sort of like they used to do, almost like a federal account, but just intel and knowing who's got a, you know, an issue with who, a beef with who, or what's going on. And I assume they do a little bit of that already, but that's, to me, you want to get some of this fixed, you need to kind of be tracking these guys a little bit more.
Yeah, and that is taking place in the state of Alabama. We've got it on multiple agencies that are working those angles. MPD's working it. The Mobile County Sheriff's Department's working it. And then we have the Fusion Center in Alabama. The Alabama Aaliyah Fusion Center is working and tracking that type of material either. Also, so it's coming around. You know, and there are agencies that assist in Pritchard with that type intel and data that's, you know, slowing things down. You know, this, the gang issues are multifaceted problems. You know, you got kids without parents or fathers, and these kids are, you know, what the studies have shown is these kids are going to look up to somebody. These kids are going to be want to be mentored by somebody. And when there's absence of fathers, there's absence of good, strong leaders in the schools and in the communities, then they turn to these gang members, which will accept them and make them feel part of something. And that's what we're seeing, you know, in the beginnings of the gang activities.
Yeah, I guess there seems to be something underway there. But it's not just like, not going around and kicking doors down, right? And or anything like that. It's just having the, just knowing where A, like sort of the lay of the land, and then B, just kind of knowing where these guys are going to be. And one would assume, like, look, there's this big gathering of people in the city and everybody's going to be there, whatever it may be. And just knowing who these people are and keeping an eye on them, you're not going to apprehend them for just being there, but you're at least aware of their presence.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that some of that stuff is being done through the intelligent led policing, where we're tracking crimes and tracking issues in these communities and these areas. But, you know, one thing I have found with these type of individuals is to just enforce every single law that you can find against them. And a lot of times, if you've got them in jail on a misdemeanor warrant of something, whether it's a traffic ticket or whatever it is, then it will give you the ability to get them off the streets where they're not in one of those crowds, you know, firing a gun at a rival gang member.
But that's sort of not what they're doing. I mean, we got to wrap it up here. But just this point, and you can respond to it. The trend in these cities is we're not gonna force these lower level crimes. So we just don't have the manpower to do it. So the way we want to handle this is we're letting this go. And I just think that sends the wrong message.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. You know, and we ran through that problem years ago when we had judges that were not sentencing anybody to jail, you know, or prison, claiming that there just wasn't enough prison space, when that is not their job. So, you know, they were to still do their job and let the Department of Corrections handle the other part. But, you know, we've got to enforce even the simplest and smallest of stuff. You know, what I have found is these type of individuals are out tormenting our community and our good citizens. And, you know, I think it's law enforcement's job and obligation to get out and do the same to them. And as you do that, you're going to see a decrease in crime in your area and a decrease in major incidents in your area.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We'll do it again a couple of weeks. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.